Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network.
So 1, 2, 3 now, baby.
What's packing, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons podcast, where today I watch Totally Spies with my guest, Marcy King. Marcy uses she or they pronouns, and she has a webcomic called Her Journal Comic, which you can find on Twitter. I am on Twitter, at StopTweetingMia, if you want to go follow me. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week, and as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm here if you need to talk. Because it's vaguely related to Charlie's Angels, I guess. It's in the same camp. And there wasn't a Charlie's Angels animated series, shockingly enough.
When I first saw this show, I kind of felt like maybe it was just they couldn't get the rights to Charlie's Angels and they were already making it. So right. They just made it something else instead.
I don't even fucking know. Never mind. I don't know anything about Charlie's Angels. I'm excited about the new movie, but also I'm not. By the time this episode comes out, everybody will have known how it is. I think it has potential, but it's a Sony comedy, and I'm sick of getting my hopes up over those. I'll go out on a limb right now and tell you exactly how the movie's going to be, despite the fact that we're recording this 2 weeks before it comes out. Kristen Stewart is going to be very, very hot in the movie, and it's going to kind of gay bait you a little bit, but nothing confirmed. Elizabeth Banks' directing is going to be really, really just like subdued by the studio, which is just gonna claw their little fingers in there, and the script will have gone through 7 drafts and it'll just be like boring as shit. All the action is gonna be like really, really generic and nothing incredible. And in the end, you're gonna leave it and be like, I guess that was fine. But like 3 days later, you're gonna know that it wasn't fine. You're gonna be really mad about it. Or at least that's how it is for me. Like I went to see Men in Black International and I was like, Tessa Thompson, that's good. And then I saw it and I was like, no, it wasn't. There was nothing redeeming about that movie.
I really think they should have gone the gender swap Ghostbusters route. You know, just have it just be like a bunch of like cis men as Charlie's Angels.
You got Chris Hemsworth. You got Eugenio Derbez.
But they still have to wear the same outfits.
So. Oh, that's good. And then Charlie is still a woman named Charlie. Gender neutral name, you know, that's always good.
There you go. Oh, perfect. God.
Yeah. So enough about Charlie's Angels. Nobody's seen it. It's going to be utter trash. You know what? If it's not trash, I'll be excited because I want it to be good. Like I love Elizabeth Banks and like listening to her in interviews talking about the movie has been great. Who knows? Who cares? Honestly.
Yeah. It's just another movie that'll come and go and be forgotten by the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. Totally Spies, on the other hand, a classic of our time. A bygone era. Was this a show that you watched growing up at all?
This is not one that I watched a whole lot growing up. I kind of was being a bit of a snob about it. I saw that they were incorporating a bunch of like anime stuff in there. And I was like, this kind of feels a little insincere.
Because you're a huge anime purist or you only watch Totally Spies with subtitles in the original Japanese?
Oh, yeah, that's my thing. I have to watch it in the original French or whatever it was.
Yeah, it is very anime, but I mean, there was a lot of Americanized anime influence kind of stuff around that time, and some of it was very good. Like Teen Titans was really great. Avatar the Last Airbender was like a few years after this. Yeah, but
Avatar was actually what turned me around on using like anime styles in American animation. At first I thought it was kind of like pandering, but then like when I saw Avatar, that kind of changed my mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing though, is if you're comparing anything to Avatar, it's going to be an unfavorable comparison. Like, unless it's, you know, top 10 animated series of all time, that's not a good look on it, you know? Totally Spies. I did watch this show as a kid. I remember watching it a lot. I definitely had a crush on Sam, the main one.
I mean, red hair, how can you not, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like her, like Mary Jane Watson, you know, Batgirl at the time. Like, they were all cartoon characters, though, you know, except for Mary Jane Watson, I guess. Like, Kristen Dunst. But yeah, this show really came back into prevalence in mainstream culture, I think. because there were a lot of memes about just how incredibly fetishy it is.
Yeah, I'd heard about that. I as I was watching these, I was looking out like super sharp for any of the fetishy stuff. And I think I caught a couple.
Yeah, there's nothing too overt, but it's just like when you see the grand scheme of things and somebody's laid out a chart where they're like, this is vor and this is gigantism and this is where they're shrunk down and this is mind control and this is where somebody makes them act like babies. You're like, oh my God. Like,
yeah,
it seems like when you look at every of the 126 episodes of this show, you can sense a pattern a little bit.
It's crazy. I didn't even realize that it had gone on for that long, like 126 episodes. I was pretty sure that this was like just around for a couple of seasons in the mid 2000s. I didn't realize that, like, I think I read it ended in like 2013.
Yeah. It seems like one that would have like 2 13 episode half seasons and then be done. But no, it ran for like 13 years, I think, from 2001 to 2013. And I watched one of those later season episodes, and that was pretty wild. It was an episode from 2014. They had recast everybody, so like all the girls were completely different. And that was jarring. And it was all about social media. There was like a social media brainwashing plot, and like their nemesis, Carrie or whatever the fuck her name was, Mandy, had her own social media app where everybody would get onto like Mandy chat and see what Mandy was up to that day. And it's like, oh, in 2014, we had no idea where social media was heading.
I mean, it's kind of there now, isn't it? Like, with like people getting huge on like TikTok and stuff, like.
Yeah, I guess. But the idea there was that like you would download an app for every single person you wanted to follow. Like if you wanted to follow Mia on Twitter, instead of Twitter, you would go to Mia app and download that. And you would only see things that I posted, which I guess was the point of the Jeremy Renner app.
Well, I mean, that's basically what my Twitter feed is anyway. So, I mean, I guess we already have that.
That's fair. So I tweet a lot. I'm sorry. But yeah, it was really funny though, because when I watched that episode, I watched like 4 or 5 episodes of the show, honestly, because it was fine. And I had some time to do it, and it just got really, really repetitive, really, really fast in the way that every episode would just be like brainwashing plot over and over and over again. I think like the first 4 episodes and the first episode of season 6 were all brainwashing plots.
I definitely noticed that.
And that was sort of like, well, okay, girls, you should probably know this by now. You should probably be able to assume brainwashing plot at this point.
So even by the like the final seasons, they don't cotton on to like maybe people are being brainwashed. They're still just like
no,
in the dark on all of it.
They're not really all that smart. Like they're kind of very, very, very stupid, especially for like international super spies that are supposed to be solving mysteries all the time. They really have no mystery solving acumen.
Yeah, I was actually noticing that, like, they definitely didn't do a whole lot of spying. It was more like breaking and entering a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I've never been a spy.
Breaking and entering with, like, really, really high-tech gadgets that will, like, cause global warming if you set them off and things like that.
Right. They just have that lying around. Like, why did they build that in the first place?
Yeah.
I watched the first 3 episodes, and then I jumped ahead to check out the 69th episode.
Great.
Because I feel like I did that because I'm super cool and funny. But I figured, like, if you're going to have a show with, like, some, like, low-key fetishy stuff, like, you're going to put something in the 69th one, for sure. And it turned out that that one had people being transformed into bugs. So
That's the thing, is it's always like some like world-ending plot, you know, that they're up against. It's like somebody that's like obsessed with bugs. Like, what was the villain's intention turning people into bugs?
I don't even know. It was like, he was like a pest control guy who, I think he said, if you can't beat him, lead him. Which, that's this... some interesting logic.
Yeah, that's good. Well, that's the thing, is that, like, all the villains in this show are so insanely, like, the guy in the first episode, his whole plot is to, like, take this teenage boy and, like, use his music to brainwash all of the youth in America. And then in the second episode, I think, or maybe the third one, the whole plot was that it was a guy who was brainwashing people with his toys to give them childhood intellect. And that was strange. He was like, I'm really bummed out that people are all playing with their phones and playing with video games nowadays. So I'm going to make them all babies again in adult bodies.
Yeah, there's definitely some kind of failure in marketing research there. If it was a big enough toy company, he probably could have like hired some new people, figured out what kids want instead of like brainwashing adults to play with them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm picking this apart too much. I'm like a little upset. This cartoon isn't very realistic.
Well, I mean, and it's always so funny how the logic of the world works, because nobody seems like in the second episode where people basically they like look at the baby doll that's being sold for Christmas and they instantly become a child again in an adult's body. And everybody around them when they do that are like, hey, why are you acting so weird? And not like, what the fuck is wrong with this person that they're literally acting like a baby? Or like when the music is brainwashing teenagers and all the teenagers are like, revolution, overthrow capitalism, or whatever it is that they're saying. Nobody is like, oh, this seems to happen to everybody who's listening to this music. Like, there's a real paper trail here.
Everyone who listens to the glowing CD.
Yeah.
However they pulled that one off.
I think a big central issue with this show upon watching it as an adult is that Alex, Sam, and Clover are like not only stupid, but also just huge, huge assholes. Like, they're so conceited and full of themselves, obsessed with popularity, and just like rich and boy obsessed, and especially rich. Like, they're constantly talking about money and like incredible like vacations they're gonna go on, and like they all live in mega mansions and stuff like that. And it's like, why are these our protagonists?
Yeah, and aren't they like in high school at the same time?
Yeah, they are. They are in high school in the first season. And the super spy base is like built below the high school. And you kind of have to wonder, like, how did they get roped into the situation at all?
That kind of is a thing that like is bugging me. Like, what qualified them? Because we really know nothing about them, like, as normal people. We just have to take it, you know, that they're spies.
Yeah, maybe it's like a Spy Kids situation. Like, maybe all of their parents were all spies, and so they've been kind of, like, roped into it. But there is a movie about Totally Spies, which is sort of a prequel that explains how they got there. And I didn't bother to watch it because it's 90 minutes and it's probably not worth watching anyway. Like, I'm guessing that what happens is they're walking around campus, they sit down on a bench, and then Jerry pulls them down through, like, you know, super high-tech tunnel systems and stuff like that into the spy layer. And he's just like, hey, girls, you're spies now. And they're like, okay, cool, I guess. And that's probably like the first 10 minutes of the movie explains it right away.
That sounds about right. I'll have to check it out later because I'm like genuinely curious now.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that I did have fun watching more Totally Spies this week and sort of revisiting the show as an adult. But it's not like this is like Samurai Jack. Like, this is not one that you're going to want to like come back to and watch every single episode because it's so masterfully crafted or because it has any sort of relevance to modern culture. Like, this is very stuck in a time. I don't know if kids these days would be entertained by this show, honestly.
It definitely, like, it didn't really strike me until I was watching it how, like, of its time, like, at least those early episodes were with, like, the fashion stuff. Like, it literally looks like they just looked at, like, whatever Britney Spears was wearing in that, like, what, that Crossroads movie or whatever it's called. And, like, just picked those outfits based on that just for their, like, casual clothes.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And I guess that's a weird thing too, is I didn't really think about that before, but like all of the girls have the same fashion sense and the same personality pretty much. Like they add some things to them, like Clover, I think, is the blonde one, is like boy crazy and more obsessed with money than the other two, although they're also obsessed with money. And the other two, I really couldn't discern any kind of personality from them, except that I guess Sam is de facto leader because redhead white girl.
Her personality is leader.
Yes, that's right.
It's like Leonardo. Leonardo leads.
And then what is Alex supposed to be?
So I actually like looked up their character bios on the all-powerful Wikipedia.
Also, I think I may be switching up Alex and Sam, or Alex and Clover. Is Clover the blonde one, or is Alex?
Clover is definitely the boy crazy one for sure.
Okay.
Alex is like the brunette one. Or I guess it's like blue hair or black hair. She's the darker haired one, and her thing is apparently being childish. And after like reading that little bio and rewatching the first three episodes, I kind of see it. She's the one that like almost blows plans like every time, just by like pointing out something. Like when their band name is the Spies and someone asks them if they're the Spies, she comes out with, "How did you know we're spies?"
Oh my God.
Which, you know, when you're a spy is maybe not the best character trait to have.
Right.
Not a super realistic cartoon.
No, not particularly. And I mean, the thing is that you just told me which one is Alex and which one is Clover, and I've still gotten them mixed up. Clover is the blonde one.
I think the biggest problem with the early episodes is they don't really introduce the characters that well.
Like, no, not at all.
Mandy is mentioned in like an offhanded joke, and then she appears, and I didn't realize that was Mandy until like halfway through the episode. At first, I thought one of them was Mandy. So like, the first episode is weird in that it just introduces nothing. It just drops you into it.
Yeah, and I definitely think that it could be a situation where they made a bunch of episodes, and then after they had already produced 23 episodes, they were like, all right, so which one's going to go first? Because the show has no character arcs and no through line or anything like that. Like, there's no reason they couldn't order it in any way they wanted to.
Yeah, for sure. I really think it probably could have benefited from like more like overarching stuff, but I don't think that's like, were a lot of shows doing that then? I know Justice League kind of was. I can't even remember what other shows were out back then.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this just isn't really that kind of show. Like, the whole point with Totally Spies is that it goes on for 13 years and nothing really changes. Like, that season, I think it was a season 6 or 7 episode that I watched from 2014, like, it's exactly the same show, except now they're in college and they sound completely different. Like, Alex is like, sounds like a fucking Powerpuff Girl. It's insane.
Oh, jeez.
She sounded like Bubbles. And I was like, why is this happening? Like, why is she like a Tara Strong on steroids? Like, I don't know.
One of the things that really like struck me about the three episodes that I watched was this: everything moves at just breakneck speed. There's like hardly a second even to breathe or even catch up on what's really going on in the show. It's just, they cram a lot into those 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, they do. And there is a lot that happens, but it also feels a lot of the time like they're stalling for time. Like, it simultaneously is moving at a breakneck speed and also at a snail's pace, because the girls are just so bad at being spies that they encounter 50 clues that tell you that these people have a brainwashing operation. And they're like, I wonder what's going on. We should warn the guy. And they're like trying to like warn the villain in the episode. And you're like, no, totally. It's like Dora the Explorer, basically. You're like, how can you not see? He's fucking right behind you. Come on.
Definitely. If they'd allowed some like time to yell at the TV like Dora has, that might be a benefit. But I guess that would screw with the pacing even more.
So yeah, first episode, brainwashing plot, of course, with Ricky, who is like a world-class musician. He's not really all that great. They don't let him sing his own songs live because his producer is basically using his music to recruit kids into the army, maybe?
It's really not clear what they're recruiting them for.
Yeah, I guess, well, okay, I guess the lyrics might give us some insight because there's one point where he's like reading off the lyrics. He's like, this doesn't make any sense. So here are the lyrics to his song, Subliminal Messaging, for the kids to,
yes,
to sort of program them. And again, this is a plot that you've seen so many times over and over again. Like, Josie and the Pussycats did this. There was a Simpsons episode that did this. Danny Phantom had an episode that did this. The whole, like, music is a brainwashing agent. People in 2003 thought that was really clever. So here are the lyrics to the song. It goes, I'm Ricky and I'm your master. Follow me as I spread disaster. Take over the government. Do as I say. I'll rule the world and you'll obey. I guess the intention was that they were going to like broadcast this live on the TV or something like that and just turn everybody in the world into walking zombies. Which is really strange because like the record producer has never heard the song. But like, he wants to make it a top 10 radio hit so that it plays every single day. And then obviously, inevitably, he would be brainwashed too. And then everybody would just be walking around looking for guidance.
I'm telling you, I don't think that this is a very realistic cartoon. I mean, all the signs are there. That's what I demand out of cartoons. Perfect real world realism, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love that the song starts with, I'm Ricky and I'm your master. Like, it's basically like the equivalent of like one of those 80s white guy raps where they start off by saying, you know, my name is Rappin' Ricky and I'm here to say that I like to rap in a rapping way. Like,
well, that's really good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I know. I took a class. But I mean, yeah, it's just like one of those things where it's like, okay, it's a kid's show. So really, kids don't even know what music is. Like, they listen to whatever their parents listen to. So this is fine. We really don't have to put that much effort into this whole situation.
Something that really bugged me about this first episode is the bad guy explaining his plan in like the evil monologue with his hands covering his mouth.
Oh, really?
I think that they were just trying to like cut a little corner on some animation there.
Totally spies? No way.
Right?
This show has such a loving craft for its animation. It's not possible. Here's the thing. I'm sort of spinning my wheels trying to talk about Totally Spies here because there's nothing all that interesting about this show at all. It's real boring.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely could have benefited from having a regular bad guy rather than just having like random characters that you have to get used to every episode.
That's true.
Inspector Gadget had Dr. Claw. You kind of got used to that character. You didn't have to be introduced to that character. So I feel like it would have been better to have like the bad guy be a character.
Yeah, and that's interesting because a lot of the time, like the villain in these kinds of shows is the most iconic one. Like, you know, they have like those iconic villains that are able to come back all the time and have sort of arcs, and sometimes they like betray each other and do a bunch of different things. I wonder if there is a recurring villain in the show or if it's just Mandy.
I think it might just be Mandy.
Wow.
But I don't know. I didn't watch all six seasons. in preparation for this. I'm sorry.
I mean, the thing about Mandy that was kind of jarring to me was that Mandy is, in any other show, like a typical bully, and of course you would hate her. In this show, the whole thing seems to be that her voice is obnoxious, and that's the worst thing about her. Like, yeah, she's a vain person. Yeah, she cares too much about money and popularity and boys, but so do all the main characters in the show. So it's like, are we just supposed to hate her because they do?
It definitely seems to come off as more just like high school drama rather than like any real reason to dislike this person.
Because I think it's a situation they run into a lot of the time where they're like, all right, so we've created the brats and now we need to give the brats an ecosystem to exist within. And because they're the most popular kids in school, we have to make a reason that they're not like the bullies. And so Totally Spies, these characters would be like bullies in their school. And so you kind of have to create somebody else where you're like, this person is actually a jerk, and you have to make them so like cartoonishly big just by giving them an obnoxious laugh or something, you know? Did you watch episode 3? The whole thing in that episode is that there's a new guy replacing Jerry who's like basically their Charlie. And he does it in such a ludicrous way where he basically creates a video of Jerry saying like, hey girls, I'm retired, don't bother me. And then every single time they try and contact Jerry, that's what plays instead.
You know what? That's they anticipated the whole deepfake thing. That's what that is.
And it's just such so telling of the girls' problem-solving abilities, where they're like, okay, first of all, the guy's name who they're working for, I don't remember, I don't have it written down, is an anagram for the supervillain that they're chasing down for the week. Like, it's
Max Smith.
And Tim Scam. And so that's one of those anagrams where it's like completely reversed. I don't know. There is a word for that too, but I forgot what it is. But yeah, the entire episode, they're like, oh my God, this Tim Scam guy is real bad news. We should go tell Mac about this. And just constantly these buffoons are completely outwitted. And it's like, how do they make it through 136 missions and not die if this is normal for them, you know?
I don't know. You said their voices change in a later series. Maybe they die and they're replaced.
That certainly makes sense. There's a lot of Sams, Alexes, and Clovers out there in the world. I mean, it could be a clone situation, honestly. This could be a Gemini Man. This show is just blatantly very, very horny. I mean, it seems like it should be targeted at, like, a teen girl crowd because of how horny it is and, like, how often they're talking about boys and just seemingly just want to fuck and how often the camera just focuses on their butts, honestly. Like, every third shot is a butt shot of the girls.
It's definitely an interesting aesthetic choice. Aesthetic choice. There you go.
I mean, that could all just be like subliminal stuff. Like, that could definitely be something where somebody is like working on the show for kids and they're like, I need to entertain myself somehow. I'm just going to draw like a lot of ass shots in this show.
They're definitely like, for all like my problems with the actual animation, there definitely are some moments when there's like a particularly good drawing. I think one I freeze framed on was when they get zapped with that dehydrating cannon, and they just kind of like freak out just for like a second, and then they turn into like these withered versions of themselves.
Right.
That like little freeze frame where they're freaking out was actually kind of fun. So I could see like animators just wanting to put in like, well, I want to draw this.
Do you think that there's like some moments of inspiration in the show and it was just like somebody's passion project to make the dehydration ray look like really, really good? You know, I mean, you'll notice that sometimes, like I watched like Rambo and the Forces of Freedom on the podcast and that show just looks like ass, except whenever it's showcasing Rambo's like rippling biceps. And then it's just so lovingly crafted that you're like, oh, okay, somebody just really, really wanted to draw this specific scene and put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed a lot of older shows will just have like a lot of bullshit animation. And then the fun part is like really well animated. And then back to just like, let's just get through this scene.
Would you recommend Totally Spies to anybody in 2019?
I unfortunately would not. I mean, it's good to check these things out just so that, you know, you're not basing opinions on stuff that you haven't seen yet, like I did when this show was first out. But I can't say that I was pleasantly surprised by the overall quality of the show.
Yeah, it's certainly of its time, I would say. It's a fun little like time capsule back to the early 2000s.
But yeah, very, very fast paced, incredibly colorful. It was like eye bleeding colors.
Yeah,
every single shot. And a lot of like a lot of embossing effects. Did you notice that? Like the title cards had a lot of like Photoshop embossing effects on it. Oh, that was driving me crazy.
Oh, is that a bad thing or a good thing?
It's like a filter where it makes things look like 3D, but it doesn't actually make them look 3D. It just adds weird shines and shadows to them.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe that's a beveled edge. I forget which one. I don't use those anymore, but I did back then.
Right. I just also would not ever recommend anybody really watch this show. Like, it's a nice little burst of nostalgia. It's a nice little time capsule, but there are definitely better shows from the time. You know, watch, like, Teen Titans over this. Watch, probably Kids Next Door is better than this, right? Or is that just rose-tinted glasses?
I never saw Kids Next Door. I don't know what happened, but I kind of dropped off from a lot of cartoons around this time. I seem to remember watching a lot of, like, Fairly Odd Parents reruns and SpongeBob reruns around this time.
Right, right. You're more of a Nick kid, honestly.
I was always more for if any cartoon character had like normal proportions, I was like, nope, not about it. I need big heads, giant eyes, tiny limbs.
So SpongeBob was perfect for you. He's got the biggest head and the tiniest limbs.
Yep.
You just love Plankton. He's all head.
Plankton is a beautiful character for sure. We can all relate to that.
Well, great. Marcy, thank you for joining me on the show this week. We didn't really talk about it at the beginning, but you are on Twitter and you do a lot of daily comics, right? Do you put out a new one every day?
I can't quite do one every day. I try to stick to about three a week. Sometimes I can't even make that. Like this week I was sick, so I didn't even try to put three out. But yeah, I try to put out three comics a week just of my my life since coming out as transgender. And I deal with a lot of stuff that sucks, and that makes some of these comics hard to deal with. Even if it's just something that happened in a day that annoyed me, I get annoyed when I have to redraw it. So some of them are a little difficult to get through, but I try to go for like a little bit of slice of life. I know that there's a lot of people out there going through the same things that we are. I don't know. I just hope it reaches someone and helps them, because I've definitely had things like that. Another notable like journal comic, Super Late Bloomer by Julia Kay.
Yeah, that was the one for me too. Like, that absolutely cracked my egg early days. Trans shit. I mean, for and sure. I was going to make like the Julia Kay comparison to your comic. And do you take that favorably? Like, do you aspire to do that kind of thing? Or
oh yeah, I mean, if someone said that about me, I would definitely have that reaction of who me? No, not me, but.
So
but
humble.
She's cool. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean I really enjoy your comic. And is it called another journal comic, or is it called her journal comic? Like, how would you say that phonetically?
So the comic is now called her journal comic. It's based on one that I used to do in college called Another Journal Comic, because there was me and a few others back at SCAD doing journal comics, and I felt like mine was just one more on the pile. So I did that for a while. It kind of dropped off through like most of my 20s. And now picking it back up, I just like was trying to come up with a new title. And I just like looked at the words in front of me and realized I can just cross out those first few letters and have it be her journal comic.
Yeah, I don't know. I just really appreciate seeing those cross my timeline all the time. And they're fun. I don't really have anything else to say about it, though.
Well, I'm glad you're liking them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me on the show this week. This has been fun.
For sure. I am on Twitter at Marcy King Ultra. I'm also on Instagram and Tumblr under the same name. I post comics and dumb jokes and occasionally sad stuff.
Great. And I'm on Twitter at Stop Tweeting Mia. Thank you guys for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.